Holly Cotton here, and you guys know I'm all about the women empowerment. And when I see women that are doing big things, especially women that are using their voice and their platform to inspire other people, educate other people, make sure we are all in the wealth and the health together, I have to come and have them on my show and highlight them so that they can share their expertise and knowledge with all of us. So I have Dr. Mamawa Bork today, and she is actually a pelvic, hold on, because I let me go to her bio because I do not want to misquote her. So she is the owner of Awareness Pelvic Health, a physical therapy private practice, and she's also a speaker, clinician, women's sexual health care advocate in the community. And I met her on the set of The Nightcap, and she was talking about some pelvic health stuff. And I said, you know what? That is a niche that we need to talk about on Holly Cotton Conversations. I need you to come educate people. So welcome, Dr. Burke.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you.
Right. Not Burke. See, I already was going back to my original Louisiana thing. We say everything with a little twang. So get it right, you guys. So first of all, let's go into, I want to know your background. I know I kind of gave what your bio says, but go into that because I know that there are people that they're like, okay, is she a gynecologist? Is she, what is pelvic health? What does this mean? They go stalk your page. They see you have videos. Okay, wait, why she's talking about a ball, but then she's talking about this and she's talking about that. What exactly is it? Now she got vaginas. Now she's doing coochies and cocktails. Like, what is going on? So go on and tell us what your expertise is and what your mission is whenever you're doing all of these educational things.
Well, I think you did a great job. I'll just elaborate on it. Thanks so much for having me on. Yes, you're right. Mamawa Bork, pelvic floor physical therapist. And so what pelvic floor physical therapy is, it's a practice that specifically focuses on issues within the pelvis. So traditionally, when you think of physical therapy, people think of their shoulders or their arms or their legs or their neck or their back. We primarily focus on the pelvis and then look at how the body is working from that area outward. So we're looking, traditionally, the things that we're going to care for are people that have issues with bladder leaks, pain with sex, constipation, people that are about to have a baby or just had a baby. We treat all people, so men, women, cisgender, transgender. It just depends if you're having symptoms or issues within the pelvis. That's something that a pelvic floor therapist typically would treat. That's what I treat. And it is a very niche space, but it also is a very necessary and needed space. So,
right. And you guys, I'm like stalking her Instagram right now so I can go in here and I'm going to ask her about some of these funny videos that she does. So I was actually looking. But so what I would like for you to go back and do really, really quick, Dr. Bork, is I want you to explain what a pelvic area is, because I know that that's kind of a misunderstanding with people. And I think let's just start with the basic education of when we're talking about pelvic area, because people don't understand, is that hips? Is that pubic bone? Is that my vagina? Is that like, what is a pelvis? Like, so I know I'm a nurse, so I know what pelvis is, just FYI. But for everyone, let's just go back to the basics. And can you explain what the pelvis is and what that is used for?
Sure. When I refer to the pelvis, I'm speaking about from the hip bones, that where you first feel those bones in your hips, all the way into your perineum, which is also the area where your vagina is, your penis is, your anus is, and inside of the pelvis is usually most people have their bladder, their rectum, where poop comes out, where pee comes out, and then the reproductive system. So we're going to be able to assess not necessarily the organs themselves, but how they're functioning. And how they function is a big a big role player in how these organs function is the pelvic floor muscles. And the pelvic floor muscles are similar to muscles that live in your shoulders or in your arms or in your legs. They're skeletal muscle, and they're supposed to move when you want them to. But most people don't even know that they exist, let alone how to make them move in the way you want them to move. And that can impact sex, your ability to empty your bladder, your ability to poop without challenges. And when those systems are not working efficiently or how they should, or sex hurts, or you can't, you sneeze and you pee, or instead of sneezing and pee, you have to go to the bathroom over and over and over again, or you feel like those organs are coming out of your anus or your vagina. Those are the things that we traditionally are going to help treat or make better.
Yeah. Before I ask my next question, I wanted to say, yes, my girlfriend and I, we were actually having a conversation, and she was telling me about a family member and how she was talking about vaginal prolapse. Mm-hmm. And we were like, oh my God, when does it end? When does it end? Women have so many things that go wrong.
It's so exhausting.
Like, when? Now I'm 90 and I got a prolapsed vagina? Like, come on.
it's absurd. I was just talking to a friend of mine about that too. It's like, as soon as you think you know all the things that we could potentially go through, all of a sudden there's this other thing and we have to be concerned about it. Like, is this going to happen to me too? Like, oh, it is a lot.
Right. Because, you know, I keep pretending. I'm like, you know, I'm still young and fine. You know, I'm still doing the thing.
And you are.
And then I'm just like, something will hit me every now and then. I'm like, I don't know if different. I like that. Oh, what? Now I got this. But anyway, we're still young and fine. We still young. So what I wanted to ask as my first question for you is, because like I just said, women always have 1,000 things. Like, one, we have more moving parts. We have internal organs. We have uterus. We have tubes. We just got some stuff going on with us, right? So with that, not only that, but then you have the emotional parts that come with, you know, climaxing or periods or this or that. So we're not even going to talk about women first. I want to talk about men, because I know that men always are like, well, that women got issues. We ain't got no issues. That's all about women or this or that. But I do know you mentioned that whenever we're talking about pelvis and pelvic health, that men too are affected. So can you give us a little bit of information on maybe what some common men issues are?
Yeah. You know, that's so funny, because often people associate, you're right, people associate pelvic issues with women, like sneeze, laugh, cough. It's a women issue. If pain with sex, it's a women issue. That could be the furthest thing from a myth ever. Many of the men that I treat have pain with sex, issues with erectile dysfunction, issues where peronies, where their penis curves to one side or the other, and then it's really painful during erection. Pain after ejaculation, where they get these really crampy sensations in their abdomen, or sometimes they feel like they're sitting on a tennis ball. Sometimes you think of prostatitis. So many of those bladder symptoms where you feel like, I've got to pee, I got to pee again, I got to pee again. Some men have that, and it might be, you know, like a male UTI or prostatitis kind of a thing. Or it could be your pelvic floor just giving you all the wrong signals. And that's why you're going to the bathroom all the time, especially those that go and they get all these tests done. And it's saying your urine analysis looks clean, no issues. Your, what is the prostate level that I can't, why? PSH levels. PSA. Yeah. PSA. Your PSA levels. Your PSA levels are within normal range. So then they're like, well, what is this? I don't understand. And very seldom, in my experience, are they navigated to pelvic floor therapy, and they get better. Anal fissures, it happens to everyone. And anal fissures, if you don't know what those are, it's kind of like if you had a crack on your mouth and in the wintertime and you opened your mouth and you had a crack on the side of your mouth, it's basically like a crack on your anus. And every time you have a bowel movement, it reopens and becomes chronically torn, causes excruciating pain. And we don't necessarily treat the anal fissures, but maybe your pooping mechanics is what's causing you to have that over and over again. So we would treat the sequelae or of the symptoms that you're experiencing, your poor coordination, spasms in your pelvic floor muscles, and make that better so that you're not having those issues. That's what we treat men for, at least.
Mm. Yeah, so while y'all up here pointing y'all fingers at us with all our issues that we have, y'all got issues too. Thank you.
You sure do. And you can come see me for it. It'll get
better. I have someone that can help you fix all of those problems. So I love that. I love that. Okay, so Dr. Borg, now if I'm coming to see you, let's just say out of 5 common cases per month, right? What is the most common theme that women are coming to see? Like, what is like the most common ailment? Like, usually you see at least 5 or plus cases of this per month. What is the main complaint that women have?
So my number one would be pain with sex. That's an area that I am very passionate about treating, but it's also an area that I literally see every day. At least 2 or 3 of my patients a day would have that. Another one would be, and that's when I say pain with sex, some people it's pain with initial penetration. Some people it's deep penetration. Some people it's a thing called PGAD, where they just have orgasms all the time, even whenever they're not attempting to. They're just, their pelvic floor might be resting up all the time.
Wait, I need that one. Keep all the other stuff, but give me that one. Give me that one.
And so I've had people where they're like, they're in a meeting and it's like, okay, it's happening again. And then they'll be walking and it happens again. And then they're on their cycle and it happens over and over.
I'm missing out in life. No. I'm missing out in life. Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
And it's just, it's one of those things that most of these people that are having these pain, it's like pain after ejaculation. And they all are, they're different things. So we treat them a little bit differently depending on what your issue is. You know, some of people it's after birth and they've had a scar either from their C-section or they've had it in their, like a tear, and now they've got this excruciating pain with sex and it just feels different. Another main thing that I treat a lot of times is symptoms with the bladder, specifically going to the bathroom over and over and over again. I do also treat those that they sneeze, laugh, cough, jump, leak, urine, and they're just like, this is frustrating to me. Those two areas, one either always has to wear a pad or something, and they just like, this is just getting in my life. Like, I can't even go anywhere. It's so embarrassing. On the other end of things, people can't go on trips because they have to pee every couple of minutes. And it's embarrassing at school or like for teachers that have to leave the bathroom often. And it's like, I can't leave the bathroom consistently or with work. So those are two of the two main ones. Let me think of some. Oh, pregnancy and postpartum. So that postpartum weakness that people have, and diastasis recti in their stomach, where their muscles start to split and they have that little gap in there and they just don't have the support. So it impacts their back pain. It impacts their leaking during the day if they lift their baby or groceries or whatever. And then the last one would be constipation. So people that are like, I only go once or twice, I feel super bloated. I go once or twice a week and then that's it. And so we're really just focusing on, is this a pooping issue? Like, are you not able to empty? Is there a GI digestive thing that's happening that we need to work on motility things? Or is this a combination? So usually I'm treating constipation more than, you know, leaks of, you know, poop. but it's usually constipation. So
yeah, because usually even in constipation, like your poop is going to be solid and hard, so there's no way it's just going to come out. Like or the chances of a hard poop coming out are slim to the actual urine, because that'll just come out whenever you sneeze or cough. God, that's so crazy. So I know a lot of times urinary, like you said, frequency, and it's so funny. I have a story. I always mess with my niece about this because she had spinal surgery. She actually, like, we thought she was a goner, but she's great now or whatever. But anyway, so when we would take a road trip with her, it was like every four exits she had to go, and we were like, listen, sit on the toilet and don't get up until nothing else comes out, because you're making a 2-hour road trip a 4 to 6 hour.
Yes, exactly.
We were like, sit down, make sure it's completely empty. You know, she's like, I have bladder incontinence. And we were like, no, you don't. You have urinary frequency. Like, you're.
Yes. Yeah. And you know, the crazy thing is, a lot of times they'll say something like, oh, I thought I had emptied. It's like, but you have to have the right mechanics to really fully empty. And then sometimes your brain kind of plays tricks on you, because you could train your bladder. If your pelvic floor moves up and down the right way, you can then train your bladder to shush and listen, because you have the ability to move the pelvic floor muscles in ways that tells the bladder to shut up. And a lot of people do not know how to do that. So it just becomes a thing that they deal with. And like, it's happening again. I got to pee again.
Well, thankfully I don't have that issue. I Yes. drink a gallon of water a day. So I feel like me and my bladder, we, like my daughter says, we go together real bad. We understand. Like, I know I'm going to drink a gallon of water. Well. Yeah. And it's like, and everyone, especially me being a fitness trainer as well, they're always like, well, if I drink a gallon of water, you're got to go to the bathroom. And I'm like, no, at the beginning, probably you will. But now my body is, if I don't have a half a gallon by a certain time, I feel dehydrated. So you'll adapt to it. But anyway, I digress on water. But so
that's one of the things to look at. I think it's really important, because you know what? Dehydration will irritate the bladder. And a lot of people don't even realize, they're like, oh, I don't want to go to the bathroom so often, so I'm just going to stop drinking water. And then on the flip side, what they don't realize is that their bladder is actually more irritated because of the concentration of the urine. And then they really got to go pee all the time.
Right. Like, and not to mention all the other stuff. Now you're all scaly. Yes. Your skin is bad. And you look old. Okay.
Let me take a sip on that.
I'm pro water. I'm pro water, Dr. Bork. So, you know, I'm always encouraging it. Okay. So I'm looking at some of the videos that you post. Now, one of the things that caught my eyes, because this is a huge recommendation. Everyone talks about Kegels, right? You got to do Kegels. You got to do Kegels. This is how you do Kegels. Make sure when you're at the red light, you're doing Kegels. So we're all 3, 4, 5, so, you know, so you have a video that says stop doing Kegels. So I need to know what's your recommendation? Because we've been told do Kegels. Are we doing them? Are we doing them wrong? Why does your post say stop doing Kegels?
Because most times it's not a problem with your pelvic floor going up, which is what a Kegel is doing. It's contracting it. It's the inability of your pelvic floor to let go and then come fully up and then go back all the way fully down. If we think of our pelvic floor as kind of an elevator, and the first floor is the like level where everybody enters, and the basement, you have to be able to go to the basement, and you have to go all the way up to the fifth floor, let's just say. So if you are, most people are like resting at the third floor. And so when you tell them to let go, they don't know how to get to the first floor, let alone the basement, to take the kink off of the rectum, to take the kink off of the bladder to fully empty. You don't take the kink off at first floor. You take the kink off in the basement. And so many of those bladder issues that people have, it's because they're not able to use their power, their full power, by letting go and then pulling up. If I was going to the gym and I was doing bicep curls here to here, I would never get, my bicep would never get strong. It would just be short and bulky, but never really strong. The way it gets really strong is by increasing that fulcrum, that lever. Now I'm getting into the physics, but really making sure you can get a full range of that muscle belly. And you can't do that if it's resting on the third floor. So we're always going to teach, first off, before I ever tell anybody to go home and do Kegels, I want to see what your muscles do. Like, do you fully come down? Then what is your power? So if you've got decent power and good coordination, it should, in most cases, quiet some of the symptoms that people have with the sneezing and leaking. And
so how are you checking that strength? Like, what do you, what sort of testing devices, just because people might be curious and maybe they think it's invasive or maybe they're uncomfortable. So how, what are the testing devices or techniques that you use?
Yeah. So me personally, my hand, my fingers are my testers. There are devices out there like Kegel devices that you place in and you can see the power getting, the contraction. When you contract, you know, there's a line that goes on up and down. Like the LV makes one and PeriFit, they're all devices to really help with strength training the pelvic floor. But what they don't do is indicate what your power is and then if you're actually fully letting go. So we're going to take a look at it to see, are you doing both of those things? And I can say you absolutely are or you're not. But I also am not even just worried about how strong is it, but when do you turn it on? So if you go to cough and you're pushing down, I could feel that push down and be like, ah, you did it wrong, or you're going to have problems with leaking eventually, or a prolapse or something like that, because you're putting pressure on that base pelvic floor versus pulling that pressure upwards whenever you're doing something forceful like coughing or sneezing or laughing. And so or if you're in the gym and you're doing like jumps, you know, like squat jumps or something like that, you're likely to leak because you don't know how to pull the power up. You usually push down. So it's not just the strength, but also the coordination that we want to see. Like, when do you put it on? Is your timing right? Because if your timing is wrong, you're going to sneeze and leak every time.
Interesting. And so what are the treatment options for that? Because I know a lot of times, especially when we're comparing like old school treatment to new age treatment, you know, it was always, you have bladder leakage, you have stress incontinence, you need a mesh, or you need the bladder lift. Like, everything is surgical for that. Like, hey, if you want to not pee pee on yourself, you need to go, like, you got to get this netting, or you got to go do something, and they do something. So what are some of the treatment options? Because you guys, you know, I'm going to get y'all some free advice from Dr. Bork as well. But what is something that people can be doing at home to help with that?
So the first and the main thing that I would say makes a big role is actually your core. And I'm not talking about the six pack muscles that most people are looking for, that kind of square. I'm talking about the deep ones that live inside the pelvis, your transverse abdominal muscles, your obliques, your internal and external obliques. What are they doing, right? Whenever you are ready to lift something, if they're not engaged, because most people suck in and their belly button draws into the to the spine. And really, it should be like a corset. If you think of when you cinch a corset, everything should kind of draw this way versus drawing inwards. And most people, you have to learn how to engage that muscle. So one thing I always tell people to do is take your hand, place it on the side of your pelvis, and then use the sound shush. And you should feel like a muscle pop into your hand out, not going in, but it should go shush. So that means that you're not holding your breath. If you close your breath when you do that, you're going to go and turn it on, but you're adding pressure down. If you say shush, you're not holding that pressure in. It's going to come out this way. So really working on core stable, like core exercises, holding positions and holding that and maintaining that muscle on. Another thing to really focus on is your breath. Your breath plays a big, big role. It's like the pelvic floor is really like a part of a can of, like, if you think of a can of soup, you have the lid, you have the base, and then you have the rim. So our lid is our diaphragm. So our breath plays a big role in that. The rim is like your core muscles we just talked about. And then the base is the pelvic floor. So the whole system has to work together. So if you're holding your breath when you're lifting something, you're more likely to pee. If you are sucking in your stomach or wearing a stomach cincher, you're putting too much pressure on your pelvic floor. If you don't know how to pull those muscles up, you're gonna likely have issues with peeing. So it's working the whole thing together so that you're not having the likelihood that you're gonna leak.
Mm. Dr. Bork, let me ask you this, because you made me think about this. So waist trainers, everyone that,
ahead, yes.
Okay, good. Everyone, I know, she was like, I love talking about this. So for everyone that's in this waist trainer population, because they want the cinched waist, are there any benefits to that to help with the core, or is it actually an adverse effect whenever you're wearing waist trainers?
It's an adverse effect. It is not helping. It is hurting. It is making you have, you're basically, it's like you have a water bottle and you, like a plastic water bottle, and you squeeze the center. So you have water coming up. So you have pressure going up. That water is pressure. Pressure going up, pressure going down. And you're not able to actively use the core muscles at all using that. You're just basically cinching things and squeezing, you know, your organs in different areas so that your waist looks smaller. But anything that's going to really give you quality core strength is not going to be there. Quick story. I once had a patient that she had the tummy tuck, like BBL, like the whole cosmetic surgery.
Mommy makeover.
Yes.
They go from head to toe, baby. You get, you come out with everything, stitching, boobs, arms going, like everything.
And I say all that, not, I mean, like, do what you want, but I definitely think that it's very interesting that before she had the surgery, she had issues with constipation. And after she had the surgery, it's like her whole system stopped moving well, and you could not get any movement in her belly. If you don't have movement in your belly, your pelvic floor is not going to do what it needs to do. It has to move. And so even after those surgeries, it's really important that people still have some sort of elasticity or flexibility in the muscle, in the fascia, or the movement underneath that skin. So really having that fully cinched waist, it is beautiful and stunning. And of course our society is like, yes, that is a beautiful appearance, but it can cause a lot of health issues associated with pooping, peeing, emptying, pain with sex. So I would opt not for a waist trainer. There's other things you can use that really stabilize the hips and the pelvis better, and not so much focus on the core or the abdomen, but it's a no for me.
So y'all can have a skinny waist, but you're not gonna be able to poop, and you can't hold your pee.
And you might have some problems with sex.
and you're gonna have, so you fine, but now you got all kind of other issues. Now you got anal fissures because you're constipated and you can't even bear down to poop.
Yeah. Let go of these waist trainers, please.
I know. I have one. It's not necessarily a waist trainer. Mm-hmm. Whenever I work out, it's like the one that makes you sweat to kind of like get the water weight out. But yes, like I tell people, especially, you know, when I don't train anymore, but when I used to train people, I would say it's water weight. Mm-hmm. So all you're doing is dispersing the water to another part. Mm-hmm. Like you're not getting rid of anything, but, you know, society.
Yeah.
Society.
Yes.
So one of the questions that I wanted to ask and I know you talk about this a lot. And when I attended your event the other day, I know that's a lot of people were raising the same questions. But so throughout my career as a nurse, you know, I went, I started off floor nursing or whatever, and I've worked in different genres of nursing or whatever, but predominantly my major nursing career has always been in nursing management. I've always been a director of nursing, always been in management, right? So I didn't really know a lot of the things that go on with like the gynecology field. Like that wasn't my specialty. But then as I started being on panels and I started moderating and I started being called in as a wellness expert and doing all these other things, I'm listening to women and now I'm really hearing these women issues that I didn't know, because even though I was medical, I didn't know this was so common. So one of the things, and you mentioned it before, was the painful sex. And I've never had this problem. I've always had a great sex life. I've always had great pelvic health. So I didn't even know this was a thing until I started going in these rooms and hearing people talking about how painful it is, why they don't want their husband to touch them. So I want to know anatomically, what causes painful sex, and why is this something that is maybe more common, or is it just because people are talking about it more? But what is that that's causing people to have painful intercourse?
So I'm so mad at myself because I meant to have my pelvis with me for this very reason and I didn't. So one of these days,
I'm not using mine. Go ahead.
One of these days I will definitely post this. So definitely look out for that. But one of the things that I would say that women have, reasons why women have pain with sex, would be some of the gynecological issues that people have. One, you asked about the things that I treat a lot, people's sequelae to endometriosis. So March actually is Endometriosis Awareness Month. And a lot of people don't realize that excruciating pain during their cycle, where they can't go to work, they can't do anything, just got to sit down, they're doubled over, is a really big sign that you might have endometriosis. But what ends up happening with endometriosis is the lining of the uterus starts going in different areas in the pelvis and the abdomen and the diaphragm and up. And that can be, it starts to adhere to different areas inside the pelvis. So sometimes it's a scar tissue thing, right? And it could be a scar tissue from a cyst that's just kind of taking up room in the space, or fibroids, or endometriosis. It could also be scar tissue from a perineal scar after birth and you tore a little bit. And that scar, even though you might be like, I'm healed, you have that scar layer underneath. So that's one of the areas where people might have pain with sex. The other area is the muscles, right? And so with the muscles, there's not just the pelvic floor muscles, but hip muscles that live inside the pelvis. Many of the times I will treat the hip rotators, right? And kind of release tension in those hip rotators by either manual therapy or taking this technique where I take needles and like almost like an acupuncture, but take it to the muscles inside the hips and release the tension in them. And kid you not, people will come back and be like, I had sex doggy style and it did not hurt. The pain is gone now. And the tension of the muscles in the pelvic floor also can have that same effect. So one of the things I can do as a pelvic floor PT, and honestly, even gynecologists don't assess the muscle itself, is apply pressure to the muscle and see if there's tender points in it. There's tender point release tools that we can prescribe. You can order them online if that's appropriate to release that tension on your own. So you don't have to go in to treat only to get it better. You can also do it at home. After a hysterectomy, or if you've never had sex, or you and your partner's, you know, has a really big penis and it goes all the way back into the back of your pelvis and it's really painful, there's dilators that can help with expanding the tissue. There's also other devices that can help put a barrier between you and your partner, not necessarily that your partner wouldn't enjoy pleasure in that way, but just so that they don't go as deep in, so that you can improve or not have as much pain with that, which is called an O-nut. That's like a little pillow between you and your partner that just really allows them not to go all the way in, but it doesn't take away their pleasure. So there's different pain with insertion. So we want to talk about lubricants. A lot of people don't use lube, or they'll, opt for different things, spit, or I start off really wet, and then after some time I feel dry, So when that happens too, there's certain lubricants that really help with that lubrication the entire time, so you don't feel like you're just being raw friction all over and it's just burning and stinging and not fun. So there's different reasons why people have sex.
And I was going to say, my statement was going to say, thank you for breaking that down, where that was actually a very good analysis for us, because I thought that a medical professional, whenever I thought painful sex, I was thinking it had something vaginal. Uh-huh. But now the way you explained it, you're like, it can actually be your uterus, uh-huh, causing you to have abdominal pain, which, uh-huh, makes it radiate. So, uh-huh, that's something. Or again, like you said, all the different parts. It could be the cervix being hit. It could be. So we got so much stuff, Dr. Bort. Yeah, like, you know what I'm saying?
We said it when we started. A lot of things.
It's like, now I can't even enjoy sex now because I got a cervix and then I got a uterus, and like even all the organs stop you from even having great sex.
Yeah, I know. It so can. The pressure on the nerves, and I mean, it's just a lot of things.
It's tough. And then men are you not in the mood tonight? What's going on? Why are you not in the mood?
Oh, let's not even talk about the hormones. The change in the hormones, and even the change that it has on discharge and how that all impacts things. I mean,
yes, I know. Yes. So we're going to definitely sidebar and talk about that on another, because I got to have you back, because now I got 80,000 questions I want to ask you. One of the last questions that I wanted to kind of talk about was, I know that you have like some of the videos on your page you have where you're like using like the, is it a stability ball I saw you on or something, or something?
Yeah, it might have been like a Swiss ball. Like,
yes, or something ball. Like that. Uh-huh. So the reason why I'm asking is because I know I did get some free information from you earlier about the treatment options and things to do or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I do know that there are a lot of people that maybe, especially women, because we have these tough personas where we're like, well, me having a great sex life is not a priority. I'm more worried about my kids, or I'm worried about work, or I'm worried about, like, it seems like we always, the things that make us happy, we just push to the end of that list. Mm-hmm. But they may be, or like, I don't have time to go see a pelvic specialist. Mm-hmm. I don't have time, whatever. So again, bottom of the priority list. Mm-hmm. So what are some of the things that women can do at home, mm-hmm, until they go to the pelvic floor specialist, until they come, like they might be listening and go, wow, I could get acupuncture on my vagina. Like, yeah, that would be so great, yeah, but I ain't got time for that. Yeah. So like, what are some exercises or some things that are like just common knowledge that I know you've posted or whatever, where, mm-hmm, you're like, hey, you guys, if you can't get to, someone like me, these are some things that I would definitely tell you to be doing at home, whether it be moving on the ball, mm-hmm, or whatever else.
Okay. So great question. So I think that one of the first things I would tell everybody to do, this one would be specifically for people who feel like they've got to go to the bathroom all the, honestly, everyone, let's just change that. Everybody should do this. Not just people who, because you'd be surprised how much you're able to empty your bladder and a bowel movement, have better bowel movements. So I'm going to start with those two. So breathing into your belly. And that is like the hardest thing for people to understand. Like, I want you to just try to take a deep breath into your belly. and see how your chest is rising up.
That's wrong. I know. I was, and I'm trying. I'm like, I even turned to the side to like
to get stop. It. It's really hard to do. So yes. I always tell people, take your hand, put it on your belly, right, really above like your pubic bone, really low, okay. And then you're going to then take one finger and close your nose like this, like one nostril, and then take a breath in. And try to get that into your, does your belly at least rise a little bit?
Yes. Okay. Yes, I do feel it. Okay. How, Dr. Bork, how a finger in my nose made my stomach rise, I don't even know, but.
I swear I use it all the time with all my
people. Okay. I'm like, what is that? Okay. All right. Uh-huh.
It's a direct pathway to your, you then, actually it's great for the vagus nerve to quiet your stress system, like your fight or flight system. But it also is like a direct pathway. I find it's just a technique I traditionally use that people then are able to raise their belly. When you are peeing, breathe in your belly when you start your stream. That's gonna allow the muscle to release, especially if you're going like this. Then it's going to allow your belly to release. And then you can actually.
I'm glad I live alone because I don't need the judgment.
There's no, I do all, there's no joke. Matter of fact, I applaud people that try this.
My daughter's going to walk in the restroom when I'm on toilet. Like, what are you doing? You know what? Mind your business. I am at one with my abdominal muscles right now. Shut up.
That is so funny. But you can do it with two as well. Like once you get it, it's like now if you tried it, you'd be able to get there a little bit easier. That's just like to cue you. But once you've gotten that down, I would say then at that point, always just breathe and don't hold your breath. Don't close your throat and start pushing to let pee out. It's not good for your system at all and doesn't help. Get a potty stool. A lot of people do to pee up. Yes, this is for peeing. This is for pooping. I always tell everyone should have a potty stool. It changes the way your pelvis and your anus rests so that you can actually empty your bladder and your bowels. A very easy exercise to help with learning how to let go of your pelvic floor is going to a deep pelvic squat. And that means you're like in that yoga pose that's mm-hmm. like, I don't know. It's called a deep pelvic squat. I think that's mm-hmm.
what where your elbows are yes. like on your knees yes. and your butt is like all the way down.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And if it's hard to get in that position, you can stack books and sit on those books in that position and work your way down. That helps you to be able, and then start breathing in that position. It opens up your hips. It opens up your pelvis for that. If you're trying to work on strengthening, some really good things is lying upside down, like not upside down, like with your feet up almost like 90-90. So like if you have the ball that I use in my thing underneath your legs, right? And you're in that 90-90 and you're working on shushing the shush muscle while you're exhaling and then like subtly marching your legs off of that ball, but making sure you're able to keep your core muscles, you know, engaged. That's a thing that can really help with. If you're not able to do that, it is really difficult to do. If you're not able to do that, you're going to have to like really start on just doing the shushing alone.
Yeah. Like, yeah, let's just start. See, I'm athletic. So none of that is a challenge for me because yeah. I work out and I'm athletic and I got, you know, I got mega knees, so I'm okay. Yeah. You know, coming up, they're like, you know, golden girl knees, but going down, baby, I got Megan knees going down. Don't play with me. Now getting up, I'm like, give me your hand now, Leslie.
Exactly what you're saying.
Hold on. Hold on. Help mama up. I just have one more question and I meant to ask this earlier and I forgot about it. But what I wanted to ask you about is because we talked about sex, we talked about general things, whatever. But one of the things that I always, I just wish that I had more knowledge about and I'm not in a field of nursing or medical where I have direct contact with people who've had negative side effects from it or situations or whatever. But I wanted to ask about anal sex, because I always tell people, I'm like, okay, y'all got some sphincters down there. Once those sphincters are torn, like they don't repair sphincters. Keep playing around if you want, you know, so it's like, leave the sphincter alone. But what I wanted to ask, because I do know that that's a common thing that people engage in. And I know some women maybe do it for their partner. Some women might do it because they have satisfaction. But have you noticed that there was a correlation between engaging in frequent anal sex with now having pelvic floor issues or other things that come with it? I'm just curious. Do you ever see anything about that?
I honestly don't often see that. I do definitely give education on using lubrication. Like, there's certain lubes that are specific for anal play. And I don't think that, and because the discharge is different, you know, you don't really have, it's not a very
it's lubricated discharge.
Yeah. There's not very lubricated space over there, right? So I always say if to avoid the cracking and the tearing of your anus, you should definitely use lube when attempting anal play. There are definitely points of pleasure within the anus. So sexually, there are some people that they're like, that's my spot. Like, I have to do that. And if I don't, it's not going to be as pleasurable for me. And that is completely fine. I think it's just more so easing your way in instead of, you know, more rough. I think when you're rough and, you know, not taking those things into consideration, you can tear and cause anal fissures with that. You can, really just impact, you know, the way the system works as a whole, you know? So, but in most cases, it's not something like I see a direct correlation with. Like,
I was just curious, yeah, because I know it's like a different angle, you know, yeah, like every, like when you're thinking of regular intercourse, like uterus, cervix, but like all of those issues are kind of in the front, but then in the back, I'm just wondering, like, is there anything, and people feel like it's something. So I was just curious.
I mean, but you know, honestly, there are some people that do what, like for instance, the people that have endometriosis, you could have scarring in that area too, right by the anus. You can have a rectal prolapse that can impact that. That's men or women. With men, there's only one opening to really assess anybody in, and it's anal. And so there's tender points that can be in the back of the pelvic floor muscles that live there too. And that's how people can have pain with that. So it is definitely a place that needs to be assessed to make sure it's okay, especially when you're experiencing pleasure there. But it's also important to use the right lubricant for that.
Well, I tell all my men, leave the sphincter alone, because I'm not about to be incontinent at 52. Leave the sphincter alone, okay? I got enough crap going on. Leave it alone. And I feel so bad, Dr. Bork, because I visited a friend in LA, and really, really successful, rich, like, I mean, wealthy, rich, right? And so I used his guest restroom, and I went in, and the
bidet.
He did, but he had the riser thing.
Oh, the potty stool.
Yes, the potty stool. So I, you know, I flick on the light, and there's the potty stool right there, and then. And I was like, I'm like, this is so gay. Why would this man have, he's so metrosexual. Like, why would he have it? But apparently he listened to somebody like Dr. Bork.
Yes.
And told him to get one.
Everyone should have one.
So now I have to rescind my negative thoughts about him. He was just trying to be healthy.
You should send him an extra one just as like a gift.
No, he had, and he did have a bidet too. Like, I walked in, I was like, oh, I need to be doing something different in life, because there, why am I such a peasant compared to other people? You think you've elevated in life, and then you go in someone, and you're like, oh Lord, I look like I'm poor. I love it. Okay, so to wrap up everything, thank you so much for sharing all of that information with us. Now, how can people follow you, support you? Do you have anything that you're working on that we can support you as well? How can people find you? Drop all of that information.
Yeah, so you can, my hub when it comes to sharing information with the community is my site, Dr. Mamara Bork on Instagram. If you have heard any of the things and you're thinking, I just really want to take a deep dive into this, you can go to at Dr. Mamara Bork, or you can go to at Awareness Pelvic Health. You can visit me on my website, www.awarenesspelvichealth.com, to book an appointment so that we can get to the nitty gritty of things. I also am a representative on the medical advisory board for Lichen Sclerosis Support Network, which is for women who have lichen sclerosis, which is a disorder that can impact, autoimmune disorder that can impact the skin on the tissue, on the labia. It can cause itching, narrowing of the vaginal canal. And so they provide a lot of education to people, to the community, of things that they can do. So if you wanted to donate to that organization, that would be a great organization to donate to. And right now I'm in the works of working on something to be able to provide pelvic health care for people that can't necessarily afford to have multiple, let's just be honest, sometimes insurance is not necessarily the way, or the way for you to be able to get the quality of care that you want to get. I tend to treat people, you know, in, out of network. So I'm not really, so it's just direct service. So that way we can make sure that you're taken care of, and then we don't have to, have barriers. So, those are the places you primarily will find me. Send me a DM. I don't answer questions online, but I will definitely direct you to a place that you need to go if you don't want to say it so publicly.
Yeah, so don't send her a whole paragraph about, well, I heard you on Holly Cotton Conversations, and I wanted, no, you got to call, get an appointment.
Yes, I even do consultations for like 15 minutes, and it's a no cost if somebody's like, I really want to know if this is a good fit for me, and it's just kind of to deep dive into it, and then I can help you figure out what would be best way for you to navigate that, whether you're in the city or out of the city. I know therapists everywhere. So if you're looking for a therapist, there's multiple places you can look, including the Melanated Women of Color Directory has one where it says people from Kenya and the DMV, they have Atlanta, you know, in the Canada, everywhere. APTA also has one for pelvic therapists in the country. So there's a lot of places you can look for it, but don't hesitate to reach out.
Okay. I love that. Boys, you gave a lot of great information. See, sometimes I feel like you're supposed to walk right into a room and you just never know who's in that room, you know? So I'm glad that we were able to connect.
So glad we connected.
Yes. Cause you know, we cousins for life now, you know, like
that. 100%.
Love it. Okay. And you guys, I tell you in every episode, if you actually go down to the podcast notes, I will have clickable links in the podcast notes. I have information about Dr. Bork in the notes, a website, whatever it is, there are clickable links in there as well, because I know some people might be driving or doing cardio or something when they listen to the show. So just scroll down, read the little paragraph blurb, and in there we'll all have all of her information as well. So again, thank you so much, Dr. Bork, for all of that information. I know I took notes as well, so you helped me, because now I can go in rooms and talk about stuff as well. Like, yes. Oh, actually, I do know a little bit about this now.
You can. And I can't wait to hear all about it. Thank you so much for having me, Holly. This is wonderful.
Yes, of course. Of course.